Amen. Thank you, choir. Would you hear this tonight? To quit praying is to your spiritual man, like quit breathing is to your physical man. Amen. Praying is the breath of our spirit, the breath of our soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. How many members our theme for this year? What is it? Pursuing His presence. I have a message I intended sharing almost a month ago, and I begrudge this in no way, but the way the Spirit moved in our Sunday night services, and we had an unplanned guest speaker. I haven't got to this yet, but I want to share it with you the next few moments tonight. So thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read three verses tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. What should they do? Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. Which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus said that. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's reiterating this promise of the Father. Verse 8. He went on to say, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's not my intent tonight to exposit these verses, nor even to get into the theology of the Holy Spirit. I just want to share a burden. Jesus said, this power of the Spirit is the promise of my Father. And so in this series, Pursuing His Presence, I want to preach tonight on pursuing the promise. Pursuing the promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the power of the Holy Spirit. How many just right off will just admit we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Some around my age remembers, usually in the comic books, I just paused to think, I wish that was the worst thing we had to preach about today. And they preached about comic books back then, but we still read them until we really got saved. But how many remembers the ad of the 98-pound weakling? No one remembers. Some of you do. Some of you ladies remember that, yeah. 98-pound weakling. It was put in the comic frames, and it was sort of like this real skinny guy, 98 pounds. He took his girlfriend to the beach, and on the beach, this great big old muscle-bound guy walks by and kicks sand in their face. And the little guy jumps up, and he gets in the big guy's face, and the big guy says something like, I'd punch you right now, but you're so little you'd dry up and blow away. And so the little guy sits down in shame, and his girlfriend's embarrassed for him. But he goes home, and he says, Charles Atlas said, I can have a brand new body in 1 month. And he thinks to himself, he said, it's worth the gamble of a stamp to send off for his free booklet. I got to thinking, how much of a gamble was a stamp back in those days? 15 cents, whatever. Anyway, he sent off and got the booklet, and sure enough, just in the next frame, that quick, the 98-pound weakling went to this muscle-bound guy, went to the beach, and the guy that kicks sand in their face, he comes by, and the transformed 98-pound weakling stands up to him, puts him to shame. You say, that don't sound very spiritual. I want to ask you something tonight as believers. Would you just come on and admit that often serving God and trying to do what's right very often in serving God, would you just go ahead and admit that many times you feel kind of like the 98-pound weakling? Anyone want to admit that? I'm not going to sell your brochure, so go ahead, or a booklet, just go ahead and admit it. How many has experienced Satan kicking sand in your eyes? Some of you have this week. Satan's kicked sin, or sand, maybe sin too, but he's kicked sand in your eyes. He's taken what is yours, and yet we feel powerless to do anything about it. And he wants us to feel that way. We're tempted. We face the challenges of living. We have thoughts we wrestle with. We hear voices sometimes. We encounter uncertainties. And we feel powerless before those things. The 98-pound weakling. Now listen, I want to tell you tonight, there's not one person, I don't care what your name is, I don't care if you go to this church or another, I don't care how long you've served the Lord, there's not one person who can live this Christian life under his own power. You can't do it. There's not one person who can live this Christian life under their own steam, their own energy, their own intelligence, their own wisdom, their own self-discipline. You can't do it on your own. You have to have His power to live this life. The Christian life can only be lived by the enablement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you tonight, though I love theology, I'm not going to try to untangle this about the Holy Spirit and when He comes in salvation as opposed to when He comes in the baptism and all of that. I'm not going to try to untangle that. I'm simply going to reiterate tonight that the Holy Spirit is the power of the believer. I said the Holy Spirit is the power of the believer. Hallelujah. Amen. He is what electricity is to the light bulb. He is what the wind is to sails on a boat. He is what the combustion is in the engine. The Holy Spirit is that in the believer's life. And the great thing is God has given His Spirit to us. It's not something kept from us. Now you may say tonight, what does this have to do with pursuing His presence? But let me back up and tell you. And I described this in one of the messages, but in the Old Testament, when God manifested His presence, usually it was in the semblance of fire. What was it in the bush that Moses saw? It was fire. What happened when they got the tabernacle built and God came down? He came down as fire. When they built the temple and He got God came down to in the dedication of the temple. How did He come down? He came down as fire, and the fire that was above those dwelling places was only symbolic of the presence of God that was in the holiest of holies. So in the Old Testament, God's presence was in the fire. When we begin the New Testament, those Gospels, where was the presence of God? Wonders of wonders, the presence of God wasn't in a fire. The presence of God was in a man. The man, Christ Jesus. Do you realize when Jesus came to a town, the presence of God came to the town? When that carpenter walked into the synagogue, the presence of the Lord came into the synagogue. When Jesus walked into Mary and Martha's home, the presence of God came into their home. So in the Old Testament, the presence of God was fire. The New Testament, the Gospels, the presence of God was in the man, Christ Jesus. But after that man, Jesus, resurrected and ascended to the Father, from that point on, the presence of God is to be found in the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is the presence of God. Where the Holy Spirit is in that atmosphere, in His moving. You see, I think this is a wonderful thing because as tremendous as it was in Jesus, that was for 3 years that the presence of God was in the man Jesus on earth. But you realize for 2,000 years, the presence of God has been made real, made manifest, been amongst God's people through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about something more than emotional dynamics. I'm talking about when the Spirit of the Lord is among His people. How many has a hunger in your heart for the Spirit of God? Pursuing His presence, you'll pursue His Spirit, because that's where His presence is. His presence is in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so Jesus had gathered His apostles together before He ascended, and He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry till He came. And He said, now when the Spirit would come, He said, now when the Spirit comes, you disciples are going to be baptized. That means submersed. It's like taking a bottle that's got an open lid. If you submerge a bottle with an open lid, it fills up the bottle. That's what baptism of the Holy Spirit is. That's why it both says they were baptized. That means to be put into it. But it also says they were filled. And you take somebody and submerge them in the Holy Spirit. If they got an open heart, they're going to fill up with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said that's going to happen to you. But what I want you to notice is the first effect of the Spirit's coming in baptism that Jesus said that they would experience, the first effect was power. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the effect of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. It's power. What do we need? Power. How do we live this Christian life? Power. How do we worship like we need to? Power. How do we witness? Power. How do we overcome the enemy? Power. Where does the power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. And so to pursue His presence is to pursue this promise of the Father. Now make no mistake, Jesus called the Spirit's coming the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism of the Spirit was how He came. Amen. He's been promised to come, but how He comes is through the baptism. But you still can't separate the power from the presence. You know, if there's the presence of lightning, there's also going to be the power of lightning. You can't separate the two. And you can never separate the presence of the Holy Spirit from the power of the Holy Spirit. And so those disciples, 120, amen, they were thrilled. They were encouraged of having seen Christ after He had risen from the dead. Amen. They're thrilled in their hearts and they're excited. I'm talking about before the Spirit came. They had reason to be thrilled. They had reason to be excited. The Savior was alive. And yet, even thrilled that Jesus was alive, every one of them knew they had just experienced incredible weakness. I want you to think about that. Jesus is alive. They're excited. Things seems to be turned around for the better. But every one of them knew that they had just experienced incredible weakness. Let me ask you, what happened in the garden when the mob came to arrest Jesus? What happened to those disciples? In fear, they fled. What about Peter? What did Peter do? He denied the Lord. That's a weakness. He denied the Lord. He cursed the Lord. The women had been overcome with weakness and grief, or weakened by their grief and overcome by it. Even after Jesus had risen, the men failed to believe the woman's reports, the women's testimony, and the disciples hid behind locked doors. Amen. And Thomas didn't even show up. He was so weak, he didn't even make it to church. And that's the thing about not showing up. You never know when Jesus is going to show up. Jesus showed up and Thomas wasn't even there. They'd experienced tremendous weakness. Amen. I want to ask you tonight, another time for all, have you ever just felt that kind of weakness in your own Christian life? Well, I blew it. I failed. I've ran. You ever felt that? I mean, I remember several years ago we was living in the parsonage, and I was really busy. But some man stopped by for directions to somewhere, and I kept feeling like I need to witness to him. Finally, he talked for a while, and I told him his directions, and he's getting ready to walk back to his car. And I said something like, well, since you ended up here at the church, you know where to find us. He got in his car and shut the door. And I started talking to myself. I said, Hurst, that was some really weak witnessing right there. That was some weak. Have you ever felt that way? Boy, that was some weak witnessing. I don't want to admit too much, but I've walked out of hospital rooms talking to myself as I went down the hall and saying, "Now, Hurst, that's some really weak praying right there. That was some really weak praying." Have you been there? Come on, let's just admit it tonight. Amen. I've been asked, "Well, why do you believe that?" And gave the answer. And I thought when I walked away, what a weak answer for why I believe that. Maybe you surrendered again to a temptation. Maybe you lost your temper this week. I don't know. Nobody told me. Maybe you did. Maybe you failed in another area. Maybe you know that you've not been doing too well resisting this word. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. The disciples were in that kind of position. They knew that they were weak. But I want you to know, upon their weakness, Jesus sent the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know, when the Spirit came, power came. I said, when the Spirit came, power came. Strength came. Ability came. You know, you think about this. You say, how do you know they got power? They had fled in fear from that garden. And now they come out of the upper room and spill into the streets speaking in tongues. Something happened. I said they were filled with fear behind locked doors. Now they unlocked the door, left it wide open, and spilled out in the streets speaking in other tongues. That reminded me, Brother Joey Hyatt preached some of his first sermons and first revivals at my home church. And we were in the midst of one of those first revivals, and God's Spirit was moving, and we did a crazy thing. We had a Jericho march, and we were in around several times, and somebody decided we need to go out and have a Jericho march on the parking lot. And they opened the doors, and here he's got his saxophone leading the way. And we went out on the parking lot, and we were doing circles on the parking lot. You talk about people driving by and rubbernecking, slowing down, neighbors looking out the windows. And we didn't care because we knew the Spirit of the Lord was among. And I'm not just talking about novelty and being on. I'm talking about the Spirit really does give us a power that overcomes our weakness. Hallelujah. I want to pursue His power. Amen. What happened when they received His power? Peter, the cowardly denier, denied the Lord in front of that damsel lady. He stood up to preach. To a crowd that had yelled, "Crucify to Jesus," before Jewish leaders who were seeking to kill them, Peter stood up to preach. And the 11 stood up with him. And Peter didn't preach no Millie Mouse sermon. He pointed his fingers to those leaders and said, "You killed him." Of course, he finished it. He said, "You killed him, but God raised him from the dead." What made that change in Peter? What was it? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Just a few days later, the apostles were threatened not to preach anymore. But they kept on preaching, though they were beaten, though they were imprisoned, and though one of them was beheaded. Amen. They kept on preaching. Why? Because the Spirit gave them power. Amen. I want you to know, we see this in Scripture. We see their fear. We see their doubt. We see their weaknesses. Don't you know they knew it too? They knew how weak they were. They knew how cowardly they had been. Amen. But they also knew the difference that the Holy Spirit made in their lives. Aren't you glad He'll make a difference in our? Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about pursuing His presence. Let's pursue that promise of His power. You said that's all for New Testament. I beg to differ with you. That's the thing I have against every cessationist. And we've got a lot of them in a lot of denominations that said all of that stopped with the ending of the Bible. And I'm telling you, they're so wrong. Why? Because Peter got up to preach again. And he said, "This promise is unto you and unto your children and unto their children, as many as the Lord our God shall call." If you've been called, the promise is for you. I said, if you've been called, the promise of the Spirit is for you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's a sad thing what churches are replacing the power of the Spirit with. Do you really realize in the emergent church, this idea of unleashing one's potential has replaced the seeking to be filled with the Spirit's power. I'm not lying to you people. It's a popular gospel that's sweeping this world. Well, the whole emphasis is you've got all this potential in you, and if you'll do the positive things and say the positive thing, you can unleash all this potential. I want to tell you, I mean, potential, we all have potential. I'm going to tell you, with all of your potential, you still can't serve God the way you need to serve God. And with all your potential coming out, you'll never be able to overcome the enemy. I don't want just my potential. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He can overcome. No, He will overcome. Can you say amen tonight? Positive self-image has replaced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know I'm not going to go into this tonight because it borders on theology, but some people, even Pentecostals, have said, you've got to understand something. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, it's for power, but it's only for the power of spreading the gospel. It's not the power for living a spirit-filled, the power for living a pure and spirit-filled life. It's just for witnessing. And there's some truth in that, because Jesus had given the disciples a task to preach the gospel, to reach the world, and He told them that was their agenda. That was what they were to do. Now listen, they knew then that they weren't up to that. They weren't up to, there's just a handful of them. Everybody, even in Jerusalem, is against them. Jewish leaders who killed Jesus are seeking to kill the apostles as the co-conspirators. The Romans were still in the power. The Romans had recently crucified 2,000 people in line the roads around Jerusalem with them. The people, they had seen how quickly the mob would change from worshiping Jesus to crying, crucify Him. Those disciples knew what they were up against when Jesus gave them the task of spreading the good news about Him. They knew they were up against it. And so yes, 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 the power of the Spirit comes to us, amen, so we can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is where I differ. Listen, the power isn't just to give you the words, amen, to share the gospel of Christ. The power is to give you the life that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. For what good does it do to tell lost humanity with a powerful voice and a powerful way that Jesus saves if they look at my life and your life and see no difference and no change? I'm telling you, yes, the power will come to me to give witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that power will also transform my life and give me the ability to live in victory and in power and in the overcoming of sin. I'm telling you, the greatest witness of Christ that we have is the change that Jesus makes in our life and living. Oh, I want that power, a power to live a victorious, sin-free life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the power isn't just to give them the ability to say, but the power is a power to give them the ability to live, not just to share their faith, but to live their faith. You see, I don't know if I believe that. Brother Durth, if it's possible, could you go back to verse 8? Acts 1 and verse 8. Let's look at the language here. We're about done. Let's look at the language here. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Look at the wording here. He didn't say, and ye shall witness. Did he? Not ye shall witness, but ye shall be. The emphasis is upon being. When the power of the Spirit comes, you'll become something. It won't be just the power to speak words. It'll be the power to become what He wants you to be and me to be. Oh, how many knows we need the power to become. Oh, how many wants the power to become, to become, to become. Oh, hallelujah. He simply doesn't just empower our words. He empowers our life. Amen. You can look down just a few verses, and I wouldn't do us justice if I didn't do this as well. Peter, immediately as he gave an explanation and entered into his sermon on that day of Pentecost, he immediately tied the coming of the Spirit's power to the last days. He tied the coming of the Spirit's power to those catastrophic end time events. He said there shall be blood and fire and vaporous smoke. He said the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall turn as to blood. And then he had preceded that with this statement. This is that which is prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. What did Peter do? He tied the outpour of the Spirit with the last days. I think that's so important. I want to tell us, church, we'll never stay faithful to God in the last days without the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll never be the church God wants us to be for the last days without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot survive these last days without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I said, amen. We need His power for these last days. Did you know that those who recognize how much they need the Spirit are those who recognize how weak they are. Why do some folks not recognize how much they need the Spirit? In other words, why do some folks not recognize how weak they are? Because they don't try to do anything for God. Right? You don't know how weak you are, or myself. If I had a bench up here with a bench press of 200 pounds, you could feel really strong until you lay down on this bench and tried to push it up. How many think you could do it? 200 pounds. Yes, these young guys here, you could do it. When you try to do it, you find out how weak you were, right? I want to tell you something. It's those who care about worshiping. It's those that care about praying. It's those that care about being God's light, God's way. Those are the ones that are most aware of their weakness. Amen. And they pray, oh God, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your presence. Oh, to pursue his presence. To pursue his presence is to pursue his promise. And to discover his promise is to discover his power. Listen, church. Amen. I don't make this kind of appeal often, but I am tonight. But do you realize we're only truly Pentecostals if we've had the Pentecostal experience of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? My wife has mentioned this several times lately. It's something we all know. We just don't voice. But she said, do you realize how rare it is to hear somebody speak in tongues in our services anymore? I'm not talking about just here, but in our sister churches. Do you know how rare it is to hear someone speak? Now, I want to tell you something. Listen. Tongues are not the thing. Tongues never have been the thing. Tongues were only the indication of the thing. Right? If you just got tongues, you're just rattling if that's all you got. But tongues were an indication of the thing. When they were filled with the Spirit, they spake in other tongues. The Holy Spirit had come to give power, and the tongues showed the power had come. Hallelujah. By the way, there is a little bit of power in tongues. James said the hardest thing to control in our being is our tongue. If you got a power great enough to control that tongue so that it speaks another language, that's a great power right there. Can you say amen? But it's deeper than that. The power of the tongue wasn't just in the speaking of the tongues. It was in that God used them to not only speak the incredible, wonderful things of God, but he used the tongues to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Come ahead, music. I'm going to quit in just a minute. So if you have a heart for God's presence, you'll discover a power in his presence. Did you know nobody's ever felt old in his presence? You ought to listen to us sometimes. How you doing? Getting old. How you doing? Feeling old. Young people, I mean, 35 years old, young people. How you doing? Worn out, tired. I'm so tired of hearing people say, I'm so tired. Brother Brock's probably the oldest one here. But I still believe this is true. When we really feel the presence of God, when we're really in the presence of God, when we really know the Spirit of the Lord, that we're in the Spirit of the Lord, nobody feels old in His presence. You may have come in here worn out from a day of work, but if you enter into His presence, I promise you something, you won't feel tired in His presence. Amen. You may have been on the run from Satan all week, but if you get in the presence of His Spirit, you don't feel like running anymore. You feel a strength. You feel a power. So could I tell you tonight, nobody really feels weak. I'm talking about our flesh may feel weak. I understand. I know that in Scripture. You get in the presence of God, they fall down on their face. Their flesh feels weak. But I'm talking about your spirit person will not feel weak in the presence of God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad He sent the Holy Spirit? I want to tell you something, and maybe just a little tiny bit of theology here. And I know what I'm saying. I know what you're saying. But we'll get into service, and we'll begin to pray, oh, God, send the Spirit, send the Spirit, send the Spirit, send the Spirit. How many knows He's already sent the Spirit? He sent it on the day of Pentecost. He's already sent the Spirit. You know what that means? It's available. It's available. We can have the Holy Spirit of God at work in our life. Now, I originally was going to preach this about a month ago. And at that time, I had just seen something that just really moved me. You know, Puerto Rico had that, was it Hurricane Maria? Knocked out their electricity. And at that point, a month ago, it had been, was it 4 months? That they had had, most of them had had no electricity. But the kids went ahead and went to school and tried to have school without electricity, without air conditioning. And it showed, I saw a clip where it showed they were all in school, in their classes, working diligently at their school, like you guys do, you know, just hanging on to every word of the teacher and writing down every problem. They were just so absorbed. And all of a sudden, the lights and the air conditioner came on. And I, you know, those, did anyone else see this? Those kids began to applaud and to shout, and it went on and on and on. Amen. Why? Because the power came on. And I thought, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit has the same effect on people. I know, striving to do right, striving to stay engaged, plowing away. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit, when He comes, all of a sudden that changes everything. Amen. Amen. Do you sense the need of the Holy Spirit tonight? I do. I do. I need His Spirit. So how do we pursue His presence? We pursue the promise of the Spirit. Could you stand? Thank you, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for Your promise. Thank You, Jesus, that when You came to the right hand of the Father, You poured out the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for the one that feels weak tonight. I pray for the one that feels like they're losing the battle. I pray for the one who feels dry, Lord, maybe dead inside. Lord, Your Spirit quickens. Your Spirit makes alive. Your Spirit makes new, makes fresh, empowers. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I can give an altar call like this. But I just wonder if somebody would be real honest tonight. You're a believer. You love Jesus. You serve God. I wonder if anyone, just like in all honesty, to seek the Holy Spirit would like to come tonight and say, you know, truth of the matter is right now where I'm at in my life with what I'm facing, I just feel like a 98-pound weakling, and I need the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if there's anyone who would just be real honest that way. I just feel like a 98-pound weakling. I need the Holy Spirit. Thank God for honest folks. Amen. Amen. I just feel a weakness in my life. I'm going to pursue the promise of the empowerment. Aren't there others that would like to come tonight? I just need God's strength. I need to be enabled, empowered, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Won't you just seek Him while you come? It's early tonight. Just seek Him. I need your Spirit, Lord. Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Give me your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Invite Him into your life. Invite the Spirit into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's let Him empower us tonight. That's it, church. Let's come and seek Him together. Oh, Lord, when I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord. When I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord. Oh, my flesh is weak, but your Spirit can be strong within me. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I need your Spirit.
Holy Ghost power,
oh, that's it, church. Let's seek Him tonight. Jesus, we're convinced of our need of your Spirit, Lord. Lord, empower our young people, empower our moms and dads. Empower our middle age. Empower our senior saints, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Give us a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by your Spirit, saith the Lord. In myself, I'm no match. In myself, I don't have the ability. But Lord, by your Spirit, by your presence, by your power, oh God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need.
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost power,
Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Church, He's already been sent to us. Let's open up our hearts and lives to His presence. Jesus has already poured out, shed forth the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God.